Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone back to Breaking It Down. This is Frank McKay. More importantly, Melissa Eitel-Joring is our very special guest, author, educator. Melissa Eitel-Joring is touching on a lot of different subjects here, important subjects. And again, in the middle of a woman's movement, which we were talking about right before the break, you have the same dilemma that that people over the years, women over the years have. And while you're fighting, you know, for professional success and equal pay, as you mentioned, it, you know, in the middle of that, you say, you know what, I'd also like to get married. I'd also like to have a family, you know, maybe, right? People would like to have a family and find somebody. And sometimes it seems almost like they're at odds. And I know so many folks that a lot of lawyers and a lot of judges and you know, doctors even, they put so much time into their career and so much effort into their career. They stop and they are almost tortured about having a social life. And yeah, it's just not enough time to concentrate on it. How many of your friends, or, you know, in your own case, have you come across that have had that same dilemma?
A number of people, in fact. I know that, for example, my niece is a physician. She's a young physician. She graduated from medical school a few years ago. With her schedule, I don't know how she would have had a social life. She was very fortunate that she met her husband before she graduated from med school, and he's a doctor. And they, you know, they have a very busy schedule, both their ends. But I think if she had left it up to now to find a husband, it might have been tough, with given her load and all the other obligations that go into being a doctor. Because I remember she was telling us that she knew of someone, a young girl who had not gotten married, had graduated the same time she had, and really didn't have the time, the energy to go out and try to meet people. And it's tough. I mean, some professions just don't give you that time, and it's very hard to juggle it. I mean, we're only human, and we just can't go for 24 hours straight, even though we try to.
Right. There's always pitfalls when you're trying to do you know, any kind of multitasking. But when you're talking about large scale multitasking, that means let me have a career. And, you know, oh, by the way, let me have a family. Let me have a social life. It's, I'm married. I wouldn't trade it for the world. But I do understand. I do understand that it's a different world for men. It's a different single world for men, yeah, than it is for women. And in some ways, you know, a lot of my single friends or divorced friends, they at least give the impression that they're like living it up. And I can't say the same for many of my female friends. I think, you know, and you can't generalize, but many of my female friends would prefer to be in a set relationship. And a lot of my male friends don't mind being playboys or being out there or perceive themselves as being playboys. Do you find that to be the case?
I think so. I think it still is. You know, in general, there are many aspects in life that are still the prerogative of men. And when it comes to raising a family, I mean, it's still pretty much the woman who will scale down her hours and at work to stay home. I mean, there are some women who are very fortunate to be able to afford full-time housekeepers, and because of their professional profile, they have to continue their career. So they have someone else, in effect, raising their children because they can't give it up. And you see this among doctors and lawyers and business people, and they can't. They can't help it. They probably wish they could be there all the time, but their career necessitates that they not. So they have nannies. They have full-time live-in nannies who raise their children from infancy through adolescence. And that's the way of life, unfortunately. They can't afford to leave. They don't want to lose their position. And then you have just the regular folk who have to work, and they can only afford to stay home. The mothers can only stay home a few months, and then they have to run back. And if they have extended family, you know, all the more power to them, because it's nice to have family members who can stay home and watch your children while you're out. Others have to put their children in daycare, and I think that's a very difficult thing to do. You hope the child will be cared for properly, but a lot of mothers have no choice. They have to run to work. They have to put their children in the care of someone that they hope, they assume, is qualified to take care of the child while they're gone for 7 hours or so. So we, in that respect, we haven't changed very much. And you know, the realities of life today make it almost impossible for it to change in the near future.
Let me just remind folks again, Frank McKay here, but Melissa Eitel-Joran is our focus today. She is again, just a fantastic author, educator, dancer, and mom. And mom, that's probably the most difficult out of all those difficult things that you've decided to do. Being a mom is certainly a challenge. But going back to the dilemma of, and I'm calling it a dilemma, but I guess it is, of balancing a social life with a professional life. I happened to be someone who owned 3 nightclubs when I was I was in the nightclub business in my teens, and in my early 20s, we opened 3 nightclubs, and you get to meet people from all walks of life, and you realize that you know, there are all these different situations, and then you realize the dichotomy between the men and the women. And I remember this one situation where I was watching, you know, maybe there were women that were 22 years old, maybe 23 years old, and they were you know, saluting, you know, with you know, a round of drinks, and they said, yeah, we'll get married when we're 50. And they were laughing, and they clinked their drinks together and their glasses together, and they you know, may have meant it at that particular time. Within 3 or 4 years after that, I remember each one of those 5 women that were in that circle, came to me and just said, you know what, I don't know what's going on, but my mother got married at 19, 20. I mean, I'm dating all these losers, and these losers don't want to get involved. They don't want to take it seriously. They don't want to get. And every one of those women at 22 years old who were joking about it, you know, looked at it as being as almost being a crisis at the age of 25, 26, 27, especially. And what I gathered from that is that this was really the first generation of people. You know, we were the first. I'm 48 years old, so I was the first generation of people, and so were these young women that grew up after the sexual revolution. And after the sexual revolution, and it's not justifiable, you said it too, you know, somehow it still is a man's world, and the men unjustifiably you know, have this advantage where they don't have the clock, they don't have the biological clock, and they don't have to worry about it. And so what happens to these women, and the only reference they really have at that, you know, in my age group, what were their mothers. And my mother got married at 23 years old, 24 years old, and it was considered very, very old to get married. All of her friends were, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old. And you know, looking back on it, I'm sure your parents got married at an earlier age than you, and probably friends' parents did as well.
Yes, that's exactly right. It was a different time. So by the time you were a woman and you were 25, 26, people said things to you, and you felt a little anxious. Whereas today, I think if you're 25, 26 and you're still not married, so what? You have time. I the society has changed. We are marrying at an older age. Unfortunately, our divorce rate has not has not, yeah, I mean, it's still up there. And because, to be frank, to get married is hard. To stay married is even harder. And people, now go on for additional education. They travel. They do a lot of different things. They want to be more established in their lives before they commit to a permanent relationship. But I know, my parents were a little younger than I was when I married, and their friends were younger than they, and they were only in their not even in their mid-20s, but when you reach that age and you're a woman at that time, people say to you, well, better later than never. And you think, well, how could you tell that to somebody? But that was the mentality back then.
See, I think even just going back to my example of the women that were 25, 26, 27 years old, that were, I don't want to say panicked, but they were very concerned, highly concerned that this it may never happen for me. They are now mothers themselves, let's say, and their children need not panic because their mothers were 30 years old or 35 years old or 40 years old when they got married, and they have a reference. The young women that are clinking the glasses together, they may be 25 years old and saying, we'll get married when we're 50. Who cares? But the thing is that the people in my generation, the women that are in my generation, are at least have a reference. They have a reference, I should say their daughters now have a reference. They didn't. They only had their mothers who were getting married at really an early age. I mean, if you think about it, were you ready for marriage at 19, 20, 21 years old?
No, absolutely not.
And there's a good chance our parents weren't either. And I don't mean your parents or my parents, but the generation of parents weren't. And this actually may be a very, and again, it's not like we have a choice or we could wave a magic wand and make it any different, but this actually may be an advantage to society that people are getting married, and maybe we will see that divorce rate go down a little bit. Or I don't know. I mean, are you optimistic about the future of women? As far as the dating world goes, or marriage in general.
Well, I think I as I said before, the marriage rate is going up. And I think it's hard. I'm glad I'm not single right now. I was exhausted from all that, from going out, looking, worrying. I mean, that was exhausting. So I'm glad that I don't have that problem now. I think people have to relax about it. It's not an easy thing to do, and especially not feel pressured by family, friends, relatives you only see once or twice a year or at a funeral. It's not, they don't know your life, and they really don't have a right to comment, and it's not to your face anyway. I mean, it's hard enough to get along in this world, to get a good paying job, to establish yourself in a career, and then to try to find a soulmate. It's very hard, especially when you're confined to certain religious needs. You have to marry within your religious group or your nationality. It's a little harder because you're dealing with a smaller population. But in general, it's hard. I think if you have a positive attitude and you find things that you like to do and you work on yourself and you believe in yourself and you don't get down on yourself when things don't go well, which is extraordinarily difficult, I think eventually you persevere and you do find that person. And it may happen when you're not even expending that much energy. Maybe you go on a website and somebody sees your profile and this is it. And you didn't even have to work that hard to find him. It just happened. And that's the way life is. Life is funny.
I agree with you 100%. And you're bringing up some great insights here. Melissa Eitel-Joran is our very special guest. Please get her book and buy it. Don't illegally download it. Buy the damn thing. And give us the name of the name of the book. You could say it better than I can, that's for sure.
You said it very well. Dying to get under the hoopah.
Dying to get under the hoopah. And then there's a tagline along with that. What's the other?
Yeah, it's a single girl's, it's a comic novel, single girl's journey to finding her beshert. And beshert is, again, it's a soulmate, your husband. It could even, for a man, it's his beshert, it's his wife or his intended, his soulmate.
See, I think you brought up another interesting point, and again, we have kind of a running theme about criticism, and whether it's about your authorship or you know, let's say you're, in the case I gave, a stand-up comedian was a well-known stand-up comedian was concerned about it, or an actor or an actress or a musician of some kind. Anyway, mm-hmm. you brought it up again,
yes.
Saying that, you know, you might see somebody once a year at a wedding, and they'll say, oh, you're not married yet?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, you're not married. And this, that's a big deal. And is that, and I don't want to be stereotypical mm-hmm. here, but is it even a bigger deal in the Jewish community?
I think so. It's a sensitive issue for anyone, Jewish or not Jewish. But, and it also depends on the person. But in some communities, I'm sure even in Asian communities where the parents actually play an active role in trying to negotiate the path of the marriage for the children, it can be a very sensitive topic. I mean, who wants to hear from a parent? Nobody does. When are you going to get married? When are you going to settle down? When are you going to start working? When are you moving out? You're trying your best, and you just want people to give you a little, you know, little time and be patient with you. And yeah, it is a little hurtful. I mean, I had an uncle who said to me, and I wasn't that close to him, but when I did speak to him, he was very free with his comments. One said to me, and I was in college, so I wasn't even 20. Don't you want to get married? You don't like boys?
Wow.
I think it was.
Wow.
First of all,
come on.
That was. Yeah, I mean, you couldn't be any brasher than that. I would never say that to someone, especially to someone I don't speak to all the time.
You know, first of all, I'm not going to make the assumption that somebody wants to get married, right? Because there are mm-hmm. people, and let's face it, the majority of us, the majority of humans, would like to be coupled. We would like to be, ultimately in relationships as we get older, as we get, you know, more mature. It's a natural feeling. But there are people out there who just, I mean, I have good friends of mine that have absolutely no interest whatsoever in getting into a relationship. Usually they're older and they've had marriages before. But I think, boy, that's gall. And I know it's your uncle. I don't want to be rude about it. But wow, the gall to say to a young woman who's getting her life in order, don't you like boys? Don't you want to get married? What gall? I would never have the chutzpah. That is another one, right? The chutzpah.
I know. No, neither would I. I could never say that to someone. I don't know. Yeah, it's perfectly okay if someone doesn't want to get married. I mean, there are many good reasons. Some people perhaps shouldn't even consider it. It's not for them, given their lifestyle. Maybe they're not home a lot. Maybe they like to wander on their own, and that's okay. But nobody should presume that this is the way of life and this is the passage you must take, or you're not a human being.
Wow. I mean, just unbelievable. We got 2 minutes left with Melissa Joran, and I want to talk about the book a little bit more, where people can get it. It just sounds so terrific, and you're such a wonderful author, and just you have great insights and everything.
Thank you. You're too kind.
Well, listen, Frank McKay here, but more importantly, Melissa Joran is the author of a wonderful book, and again, Dying to Get Under the Chuppah. And what's the tagline?
Oh, the tagline is a comic novel, a young girl's journey to finding her beshert. And it's not just a New York story. It happens to take place in New York, where there are a lot of singles, because New York, let's face it, is a big town. But I think it resonates with single women all over the country.
Well, and it's... you know, is there a second book coming? Is it the type of book that you feel needs a sequel, or will it, or I should say a follow-up? Is this a franchise in your mind, or is it on to other things?
I don't know. That's a good question. We were hoping, you know, when we were writing this, that maybe we would do, Dying to Get Rid of Our Husband or something. We were joking about that, but I don't think that's too pleasant. I don't know. Could it be? If anything is possible. I mean, I think we want to give the main character her just dues, and then see where the possibilities lie.
Well, Melissa, I tell Jordan you've been a wonderful guest.
Thank
as
you,
always.
Frank.
You are fantastic. Author, educator,
you,
dancer, and mom. And say
Thank
hi to Larry. And again, give us a quick website where people can go and touch base with you or follow your career, social media or a website.
Okay. Well, I can. I have a website. It's a recent website. It's on Cambridge Who's Who. I really am embarrassed. I don't have the link.
And I want to thank everyone, of course, for tuning in. Again, Frank McKay. Melissa, real quick,
yes,
before we go,
yes,
where can people buy your book?
Okay, well, right now they can peruse the copy of the book online. It's in the works for the hard copy. You can check out Sandra Hockman's website. She has she's on the Huffington Post, where they're celebrating her film. I forgot to mention her film, Year of the Woman, which is also a woman's lib historical milestone, which is everything that happened in 72. And she made the film, and she's in it. And there's a mention about that. And we're in the process of putting up an official website for Dying to Get Under the HUPAA. And it is, right now, it's in the works for publication, and when I know more, I'll let you know. I'll let everybody know.
Well, sounds great. Listen, I'd love to have you on again, and
thanks.
I want to thank everybody once again
Thanks. For
listening. Melissa, I tell Jordan, thank you very
thanks,
much.
Thanks, Frank.
And I want to thank all of you for tuning in. Frank McKay here. We will see you next time on Breaking It Down.